Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for a little while in this masjid, in his home, he has given us his grace, his generosity, his mercy. He has saved us from all evil and bad things, and he has gathered us together to recite his name, to mention his name. He himself gives us the courage. He himself changes the heart, turns the heart. He himself gives the ability to us to do good deeds, and he himself forgives. He himself forgives. Subhanallah. My brothers, this is such an action that nobody can reject. This is such a fact that nobody can reject. Nobody has rejected, nor will anybody do so in the future, nor can anyone, whether he's from any religion, any belief point, anything he's linked with, but he cannot reject this point, and that is maut, death. Yes? It has been announced in the Quran that every person will taste the death. He will depart. And most of all, the thing that makes a person lazy, and what does shaitan make us negligent about? It is for maut. If a person wasn't negligent about maut, then the human being would never do a wrong action. When a person is lazy, negligent, unaware, unconscious about death, the more he is unaware, more he is negligent regards to death, the further he will go from good deeds due to having ignorance. For example, somebody passes away, and somebody from maybe your home, family, people we know in our family, they die, they pass away. After his death, you have a sort of weird feeling, isn't it? The men folk, the women folk, you'll see them praying salah, they'll open the Quran, they'll start doing tasbih, they have fear, they are a little bit scared. First and foremost, the khawf then at that time makes us pay attention and turn towards the ibadah, worship of Allah. Somebody dies, people open the Quran, they start doing tasbih, they start doing du'as, because they've experienced and seen death, and the memory of that death suddenly takes the others towards Allah. And maut is definitely going to come to all of us. So it cannot be that just because we're lazy and negligent that death will go far or it won't come. So first and foremost, we need to address this issue and make this negligence and ignorance far from us, that we need to become aware more that we are going to die for sure. And maut, when a person dies and leaves, then at that time, he regrets one thing big time, because he's left this world and gone to the next world. So the regret in the next phase, he doesn't regret not having money or not having children or not having wealth. What does he regret after this life? What is the biggest regret? What is the thing that he regrets the most? Oh, what happened? Why I didn't do this? What can you say? Sins? That as soon as a person dies and goes into the grave, then all the sins take a different form and image. We've heard many events and hadith. The sins that we commit here on planet Earth that we think are minor. We just cross our legs and fold our hands and say, oh, it's okay to lie. We fold arms and swear at other people. Yeah? Oh, it's okay, it's common, it's acceptable. But these are big sins that a human being commits, and jokingly he does it, laughing. He doesn't know that where are these sins being accumulated. When a person dies, then all those sins that he used to laugh over, they come into his grave with ugly appearances. May Allah forgive. Big pythons, scorpions, insects, creepy crawlies. And he's awake in the grave, and that snake is grabbing him, biting him. They're coming out of the walls of the grave from the earth beneath him. They have so much strength that nothing in the world can hit them or beat them or kill them, destroy them. And in comparison to that, there's another person when he dies. Another person, he has no regrets. He's happy in his grave, alhamdulillah. He has good deeds with him in the grave. And this will happen with everyone. Me, you, others who've gone before, others who will go. These two scenarios will play out. So the person who will regret, number one person, he will see in the grave darkness, severity. What's going on in my grave? Who will he call out to? Doors are shut, grave is shut, kitab is shut, book of deeds is shut. He's in the grave locked up. Nothing will assist him. So what will he regret about now? What's the regret? The regret will be on one point. That if only this sin, I could have cured it in the world, how good it would have been. He'll say in the grave, Allah, give me a chance, send me back, I promise you. I promise you, I won't commit this deed again, this sin again, I won't repeat it. But we can't say that we'll commit the sin again. He won't regret that, why did I do the sin? Remember this. He won't be regretting, why did I sin? Why did I do this medicine? Why did I do zina, sin of the eyes? Why did I lie? He won't regret that. Every sinful action that he done on planet Earth, that the ulama ikram, the respectable scholars have told us that we read about, at that time in the grave, he won't be regretting about the sins he committed. Rather, the regret he'll have is that, Allah, you gave me such a great opportunity. Such a great opportunity, fantastic chance. And it was so easy for me that if I practiced that, then all the sins would have evaporated in my life. That's the regret he'll have in the grave. That's the regret he'll have. Remember this point I'm saying. So me and you, we will regret. So brothers, now shall we not try to do that action? Say yes, inshallah. Yes. Shall we not do that action, or do we want to have regret in the grave? Tell me, do you want regret? Yeah, that will be such a regret, such a severe action Allah has given this world. If the person brings it into control, implements it, the question doesn't arise that he'll regret anything in the grave. The question does not arise. Sin, we all commit sin. We are insan. Sin are touched. If I say, I'm not going to do sins again, I'll sin again. Then I'll say, I'm not going to sin again, then I'll sin again. We should try to stop sins, and Allah saves a person. But naturally, fitratan, we have sin in our life. We can try as much as we can. But somehow a sin will attach itself to us. Even a sin the size of a particle dust will make the creepy crawlies and scorpions. Then will there be fewer? One snake in the grave, one snake here, we lose our breath running away from it. So tell me, the snake in the grave, the more we beat it, the bigger it will become. It will open its mouth and eat from the left and the right. It will devour us. It will be alive. Allah will not let it die. So one snake is enough in the grave. So can we say that one sin is a minor? Oh, it's okay. It's only one sin. Because what we should try to do, so let's learn today. What we should try to do is that the regret that will take place in the after, Ya all these sins, Allah Ta'ala gave me an action that could have annulled and made these sins void. Why didn't I do that amal? Why didn't I practice that deed? Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, Allah is great. We are still alive. Come, let's promise today that we will do that amal that will make the sins null and void. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. True promise? Inshallah. Enjoyment beyond enjoyment. Mazib beyond mazib. In the grave. Nothing will happen in the grave with Allah's grace. Allah's prepared for the people of Iman a great preparation in the grave and the hereafter. Just one amal that will evaporate the sins. What is that? Very simple deed. But because we are lazy, negligent, we don't care, we're not bothered, we don't do that deed. What is that deed? Doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing what? Tawbah. Repenting. Allah Tawwabur Rahim. Allah Tawwabur Rahim. Allah says, I am the one who accepts the repentance. A person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Oh Prophet, I'm finished. This hadith, he was making noise, I've lost everything, because he felt that, oof, I've got so many sins, and if death comes to me now, where will I go? And he was so upset. Allah, what shall I do? Don't take me badly. I'm saying, we are all the same, sat here. We're all the same. No one sitting here is pious. We all should think that we are that person who's in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're sat in the same way right now. Don't think I'm pious and pure clean. Impossible. If we're all scanned now, you realize that how many sins we commit praying salah. How many sins we commit during ibadah? Doing ibadah. So sin at that time, remember that if, for example, dirt comes on your body, you cannot clean the dirt until you wash it with the water. Can you automatically wash the grime of your body? No. So the sins will not be washed until we don't wash the sins. What do? We collect the sins, we gather the sins, we accumulate the sins, they pile up and pile up. Allah has told us a beautiful method. Commit sin, do tawbah, wash. Subhanallah. Automatic, in parallel. Sin, shaitan's made you do a sin. Yes, you commit the sin, do tawbah straight away, clean. Do a sin, do tawbah, purify. So the man came. He said, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, I'm finished, I'm gone, I'm finished, I'm my sin, this sin, that sin, this sin. My sins fill up the space between the heavens and the earth. I'm finished, I've lost everything. The Holy Prophet ﷺ brought him close. And this is a message for the whole ummah, the nation, me and you. It wasn't his predicament. This was to make everyone's life. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Those who will be alert today understand, they understand the meaning of the hadith today. Their lives will change and improve. Their graves will change. Their death will change, the time of their death will change. Maut, my brothers, is such a severity. You cannot stop it. How many du'as and medicines, injections, anesthetic, whatever. And the biggest, alhamdulillah, grateful to Allah, grateful to Allah, grateful to Allah. The biggest benefit of our iman is that after death, the life after death, we know what's to come after death. We know. It's not that we don't know, that for example, I don't know, I'm going to go home now, and there's a thief inside to hit me, and aware, what will happen to that person? Oh, I'm finished, shock, he suddenly jumps on me. But a person knows that I'm going to go, there's a thief in the house, and he goes with preparation, he's ready, then he'll challenge them and fight them. So in the same way, what's the difference between us and others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, due to the sadaqah and the great benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's made us aware and told us, when you die, the life after this earth, this will happen to you, this will happen to you, this will. What a great announcement. Today we're listening with big heads. Yeah, ask a person who doesn't have iman, that do you know about death? Do you know? I'll tell you one event in my life so you understand what I'm saying. One event. That how important is this what I'm telling you today? So important and so essential is what I'm saying to you. One person I know, he became a Muslim, and I know his name. And he told me this event. I said, whenever somebody comes and he wants to become a Muslim, I say to him, how did you come towards Islam? Why did you like Islam? Because my whole life has passed in this track. I interview people, I talk to them, so that I can also learn from them and get wisdom. Because my taqwa increases, my Islam increases, my strength. That's why I'm telling you, so that you can also get taqwa from this. This is not some folk tale, jackanory stories. Why don't we just stop and do dhikr? No, we're talking, so these points can pinch our hearts. Yes? So he was a kafir. He didn't have iman, he didn't have belief, he was Irishman. And this is his words, I don't know, he said that, look, he said, Hazrat, look, the point is this, that my father, I loved my father a lot, he said, what did I do? I loved my father, and you loved your father, I loved my father, everybody does, isn't it? Don't you love your mother? He said, that for example, if your mother's death occurs, what will you do? So today a woman passed away. She was 35 years old, young woman. Yes, everyone knows who she is. Young children, she's left them behind. And her body's there and everyone's crying. She's died. So this is reality. They are young children. They thought, well, my mom's not going to die. She's young. She's got life. How is she going to die? Does anyone die at young age? She's just become ill. She'll be right. But this is Allah's hikmah, wisdom. It's His choice. He can call back, recall. The children are crying. And all the people in the world have pity on them. So will Allah not have pity? Allah has more pity than the people of the world about the death of this woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't do dhulam, but Allah says in the Quran, I've told you that every person's destiny has this inclusion, that I'll call you at some stage back to me. Just like you stand on the bank of the ocean, you see the bubbles on the top of the froth, on the sea, in the water, and every bubble isn't the same. Something, one bubble bursts quickly, some bubbles burst after time, some bubbles float in the air, and then they float, and then they burst. So our life is the same, we're on the top of the sea. Somebody's bubble may burst now, later, there's no guarantee about life, or health, or age, nothing. Everyone's bubble will burst at a certain time. So he said, I loved my father a lot. The Irishman said, I loved him so much, and he passed away, my father. And he said, the book shut. Now for us, what a beautiful lesson that somebody died. So what do we have? The thousands of events in the Quran tell us he'll go to Jannah, he'll get this reward, angels will come to receive him, he'll have palaces. And how much this is to strengthen our iman. Say subhanallah. The death of one person gives us importance and lessons. But the person who doesn't have yaqeen, he has nothing. Oh, someone dies, they burn his body, they throw this into the water, into the ocean, some throw them to the animals. But Muslim? No, he's not dead. Now the life has started. The real life. He's not dead, brothers. Real life started now. Don't cry for him. Take his worldly clothes off. Subhanallah. Take his worldly clothes off. He doesn't need the worldly clothes. Make him naked. Why? Because his life will start now. The life he's going to know, the world. Then he will be given the attire, the dress of that world. So we think we're making someone naked and throwing him into the soil. Yes, so obviously if he can go, the clothes could go in. The coffin can go. So can his clothes not go in? But the hikmah of Allah is what? That this is the dirt of the world. These clothes, leave them behind. He can put on millions of pounds of clothes worth, value, the most valuable jewelry clothes. Quickly get them off, get them off. Go on. It's dirt, because where he's going, he will have more valuable and precious clothes applied to his body. We think he's naked. He's not naked. The mayyit, the person who goes to get. You think he's naked? No. No, no. So why are you giving him a bath? Why ghusl? He's dead now. Why are you applying perfume and itar? The angel, the animals will eat him, the insects and the spiders. So why do we do all this? No, the Muslim doesn't realize he's going to the next world. He's pure, clean, with caution, clean him and sparkle him, put essence on him, fragrance, give him a good cloth with adab, manners. Why? Because the person who's died, because our life is not maut, rather a person after this life is getting the new lease of life. Isn't this what we think when the person dies or not? Who's telling us this? Where do we learn this from? Who told us this? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If this knowledge was not with us, if we didn't recite this, learn this ilm, then what would we know about what to do after death? So he said, the Irishman, that my father died, I had no understanding. Where's my dad gone? He said, so suddenly I felt sad. And passion came to me. Look, we are so grateful. We got iman, brothers. So he said, I became like an animal, enraged. Yes, and suddenly a fear came into me that where's my dad gone? Where's my father gone? He said, I was desperate. The we get sabr, isn't it? When a person's buried, lowered into the grave, we do dua. Then the coolness layer comes into us. Who puts this in? Allah puts this layer of coolness in. Because we have a link with Allah. Allah gives us sabr and patience. Allah says, don't worry. So we start to have yaqeen that the person's died. But he said, I got mad. I was afraid. So let me go to my padri, my vicar. He's in the church. He'll tell me everything. So he said, I went and knocked on the door of the vicar. Yes, why have you come? He said, my father, you know, he's died. He said, is it? He said, where's he gone? Tell me, where's my father gone? Our religion. What does he say? Where's he gone? Because he was religious. So he said, the padri, he started saying hanky panky, this, that, left, right. He obviously had aqeedah proper, he'd be able to explain. He said, I'm not satisfied with your explanation. You're wrong what you're saying. He said, come tomorrow again. He went again the next day. He couldn't go to sleep. He couldn't get sleep. He said, tell me, because you are our priest, explain to me, where's my father gone? Where's he gone? Where will he be at this moment in time? He said, this and that. He said, X, Y, Z. No, no. He said, this is not reality, what you're saying to me. So in this sort of conundrum, he said, my life continued past. I was upset and I became mad, crazy, thinking about it. I'd go to his grave and think. He said again, then the doubts came to me. What sort of religion is this that doesn't guide me? My religion's not guiding me. He said, no, if it's not guiding me, give me clarity. Where's my father gone? My heart says my father hasn't gone anywhere. That this was the proof of my love that was saying this. Then he said, I said, brother, I was upset. Then there was a person, Arab person. And sometimes I'd meet him and he saw me upset. He said, what's wrong? He said, my father's died. I'm very sorry to hear this and this and that. Like, we give commiserations. And he said, what can I say to you now? He said, can you tell me something? That where's my father gone? Do you have a religion? Does your religion not guide you? He said, what does your religion say? Because my religion has not told me anything. My vicar, my priest. He said, can you tell me? He said, yeah, of course. I can tell you lots of things. I can tell you the whole story where your father has gone, where he sat now. What's happening with him? He said, how do you know? How do you know? And then he took him to the alim, the scholar. And he sat him and said, what's the point? Problem. He said, what's this concept? Where does a person go when he dies? Where does he travel to? Subhanallah. Then he started to read the Quran, the scholar. Say, Subhanallah. And he was reciting Arabic, and this Irishman said, I was understanding in English. The words started to penetrate my heart, and I had yaqeen, belief in death, and I started to learn about the life after death, that where's my father gone? And he said, as he recited and he explained to me, death, this happens after death, this happens, and then you have good deeds, bad deeds, reckoning, questions. He said, the noor of the Quran penetrated my heart. He said, I shrieked out that this deen, this religion, that if it's telling us the world after this life, then that's the right religion. He said, that's the right religion. Aha. He said, then that solved my question. He said, I had so much yaqeen about death that from that day until now, I just do one action. He said, what am I doing? He wasn't mad like us, crazy. He said, what am I doing? One action I've grabbed over. He said, I'm preparing for death every moment. Will we do this, brothers? Or do you want to keep on listening to jackanory stories? Tell me. What do you want to do? Shall I prepare all of us? Shall we prepare for death? Preparation for death. So brothers, in that grave that we will go into, Allah has given us such an easy amal. If we do that amal, that deed, then we'll be very light when we go in the grave. So he said, he's died, please tell me my sins. He was alive. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him closer, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the whole Ummah's life easy and called him closer. Said, whatever I do, say, do that. Okay? So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him the kalimat of astaghfar. He recited astaghfirullah. The Prophet said, recite again. He read it again. He said, recite again. When he recited three times, it took not even a second in between. He said, go, you are forgiven. Now live the new lease of life. Subhanallah. So maut, is it going to be difficult for him? Will it seem hard for him? Tell me. So why do we urinate when we hear about death, when we see someone dying? Why do we urinate? Why is it hard for us? Because we haven't prepared for death. Is there hard work? We don't even say that don't sin. We don't even say that you won't sin. No. It's stated that this will happen. You will sin, but you need to do one action. Allah is Tawwabur Rahim. What a beautiful... Allah says, Allah. Allah praises himself. Who am I? Allah. Allah, subhanAllah. The verse starts from here. And it goes where? And it's so jamia and complete and everything. All Allah's characteristics and attributes. Who is this? Allah. And where does it start from? Allah says that, look at this great point Allah is mentioning. What is it written? Allah, Allah's name. If I wrote this on your heart, then imagine. Shall I write this on your heart? You've seen it on the board. Allah, but if I write this name on your heart, then will you recite it? Put your hands up if you want the name Allah written on your hearts. Put your hands up. Do you want the name Allah on your heart? Then after Isha, stay behind. And I'll inscribe it. 1 second, I'll inscribe Allah on your heart. 1 second. That's written in the kitabs. You cannot inscribe it by looking at the kitab. What's written in the kitab is fine, isn't it? If it's written in the book, these names, all these attributes, you know the hadith, that these kitabs, the names are written, if you recite and read the book, then Jannah is wajib on that person. Wajib, compulsory. Subhanallah. So, it's a good thing the person who started to read this, if he reads 10 minutes, come in advance before Salah and read this book, then the wajib, compulsory is Jannah, is wajib on that person who recites this, reads this. But if a person's heart has got the name, all the names of Allah, and the wisdom of Allah inscribed, say subhanAllah. Do you want the name written on your heart? Everyone wants it written? Yes? So this is my job, my duty, I inscribe. Whoever's heart has the name written on it, then tell me what will be his state and condition. Tell me. Tell me. So Allah says, Allah. What does Allah say first in the verse? Allah says, Allah. Allah introduces himself. Allah says, it's me, Allah. Your Lord. What does Allah mean? That when Allah says Allah, then everything that comes after, all the other names are combined and contained within the name of Allah. Why? Because Allah is His personal name. What is it? It's His personal name. Just like Sheikh Saab sitting. I say Sheikh Saab. So his personal name is Sheikh Saab. If I say Sheikh Saab, then he is Sheikh Saab. Everyone knows him as Sheikh Saab. If I say your hand, your nose, these are the parts of your body. If I say Sheikh Saab, your hand, your nose, your mouth, your face. If I say Sheikh Saab, you're beautiful. Everything is beautiful about him. This is beautiful. This is nice. This is nice. Everything, all his attributes come in. So if we say Allah, then all of Allah's names and attributes are sealed within that name, Allah. Yeah. So when you say Allah, you're saying Rahim and Kareem. Everything comes in. All Allah's characteristics, attributes, all Allah's qualities come in. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. This is the power of the name of Allah. Allah has given us a shortcut. That 99 names don't mention them. Just say Allah once, all the names are mentioned. All the characteristics are included. And if you say from the heart, then imagine the heart of that person. And the person keeps on saying with every beat of the heart, imagine his state, his condition. Tell me. So what? So he said, Allah. Allah is introducing himself. Allah is saying, I am Allah. I am Qadir, Rahman, Rahim, Mutlaq. Everything I am. Everything. Whatever I want to, I can do. It's my choice. From hellfire, I can take you, I'll put you in paradise. My choice. I can take you in paradise, throw you to hellfire. My choice. Whatever I do with whoever, it's me. And whatever I do with full 100% justice. Whatever I do will be 100% just. No doubt. No one has the power to shake, to complain, to criticize against me, to challenge me. No one can dare, because I'm Allah. Allah says, I'm Allah. So first Allah has introduced himself. Tawwabur Rahim. Allah says, my quality, my glory, you've heard, I am Allah. So who can stop me that I forgive somebody? Allahu Akbar. Who is there anyone who can account to me? If someone, Allah is a zina, he's stolen, he's a thief, he's nonsense. And this woman, she has no modesty, and he had this many colleagues, and they were wrong, and they were liars. Allah says, who has the power that if I want to forgive someone, they're challenging me? Allah says, why? Because I am Allah. I am Allah. This is my sift. This is my attribute. No one can utter, no one can flap a wing. No one can shake from the top of the universe to the top. Through all the galaxies, just like the other day I said, that the universe, the things, the galaxies, the universe, the planets, the solar systems, we cannot reach to the understanding, the theory, the power. All we do is sit in this world and look at the moon and the stars. But there's so much. This solar system we're in, it's not even an atom's weight within the universe that Allah has created. Everything belongs to Allah. So Allah said that commit the sin. And if you carry on sinning, sin. Carry on sinning. But your job is to do what? Is that you should recognize me that I am your Rabb, I am your Lord. Don't forget me, Allah says. Don't forget me. So when you commit a mistake, and you commit a mistake somehow, then you shouldn't think that you are without the owner, that there's no one on top of you to protect you. Oh, that you're an orphan and you have no one to assist you. Allah says, doesn't matter how many sins you commit, you've recited my kalama, so I'm present there to assist you. Allah says, I am here, I'm in existence, I'm present, all present, everlasting, totally in existence. I'm everywhere, at every time. I'm so close that I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. There's nothing that can be closer to you than me, Allah says. Your breath, your eyes, the light on top of your eyelashes is not closer to you than Allah, the closeness that Allah has to you. SubhanAllah, Allah says, the closeness that I am to you, nothing can be closer to you. SubhanAllah. Allah says, I'm so close to you that your words, you cannot hear your own words. Your mind, your brain, the thoughts are revolving in your brain. It's just revolving. It hasn't even come out. Your thinking, your thoughts, you're just thinking. Maybe it's the beginning of your thinking. Allah says, I hear your thinking before you even thought about what you're thinking. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. What is this, my friends? The power of Allah. Huh? Allah says, I know what you're thinking before you even thought what you're thinking. And the reason we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because we've said this, we've got such a close link, such a strong link with Allah, that the whole Quran, Allah says, I won't call you by your names, I'll say Amanu to you. I'll address you with Amanu. What a great status Allah has given us due to iman. Thief, bandit, zani, adultery, whatever. But if he's got iman, Allah says, I want to address him by name in the Quran. Everyone reads the Quran. Everything in the world, Jibreel, angels, everything in creation reads the Quran. So Allah says, I don't like that a person who believes me, who follows my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I call him by name or by other name. Rather, how? I will call him by his attributes, qualities that he's got that I've given to him. What is that? Amanu. Oh, you who have iman. I won't say in the Quran, you're a thief, a bandit, or a robber, or a zani. No, subhanallah. Allah says, I won't put you down. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what the words I'm saying today? Truth, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, if you don't understand, take the cassettes. Are they made here? Are they produced here? No, okay. So listen on the side afterwards. Okay? On the site. So, Allah Ta'ala says, the brothers, then, Allah says, I'm Allah, I can do what I want. If something happens to you, tawwab, if you commit the sin. Tawwab. Tawwab, subhanAllah. So the meaning of this now, tawwab, that not just forgiveness, rather Allah forgive me. Allah says, I love to forgive. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, you commit the sins, definitely commit the sins. Allah says, I want you to sin, because after you sin, you'll come to me and ask for forgiveness. If you don't sin, then how will you ask for forgiveness? So Allah says, I don't enjoy that. Allah says, you are my servant. I created you, say subhanAllah. I love that person. How much encouragement Allah has given him. Because we are used to sinning. Allah says, I like that person. He commits a sin, then he comes to me one day, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I like that action. I like that scenario. Imagine Allah's glory. Because Allah says, I'm Allah. Allah. And who can change my preference? Can anyone change Allah's preference? No. We commit sins. Oh, go away from me. You commit the sin. You sinful person. Be gone with you. We hate a sinful person. We do, don't we? But no. There are people like this. Remember that a person definitely should dislike the sin, but he shouldn't dislike the person. Okay? Yes, so you may hate the sin, but don't hate the person. So Allah says, the people in the world, they reject another person due to his sins. But my rahmah is waiting for that person. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I wait morning, afternoon, tahajjud time, all night long. The night passes and the doors of my mercy open. Call this person, come and ask me for forgiveness. SubhanAllah. My servant, call him to me, call my servant, man, woman, it's morning, people in the world are sleeping, my Rabb, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, he's always ready for one thing, come to me, quickly ask for forgiveness, I want to forgive you, SubhanAllah. But despite this, if we go into our graves and get beats, and the scorpions bite us, then are we human beings? Tell me, do we deserve goodness? Can we be human beings? The animals are better than us. They understand these words and points, but we don't understand. If you've understood today, then me and you, if our awareness has come awake, then first and foremost, what should we do? If our consciousness has come awake, what do we do? First, say loudly, Tawbah. Everything around us will be witness. Tawbah. Repent. You understand what I'm saying? What a great action is Tawbah. Then Allah, our Rabb says, Tawwabur Rahim. Allah says, stop. Allah says, I like forgiveness. I like to give forgiveness. And I like, this is my hobby to forgive people. SubhanAllah, this is my hobby. Rabb is happy. The Creator is happy. Allah is so happy when He forgives somebody. Allah states that so happy I am that in the heavens there's rejoicing that today I've become friends with somebody. Allah says, SubhanAllah. Look at this. This is Tawbah, my friends. So don't consume. We think it's a minor. Little, small thing. Allah says there's celebration in the heavens when somebody asks for Tawbah. Then Allah says, Tawwabur Rahim. That I don't just forgive when I get what I like and I forgive that person, then my rahmah comes into being. It becomes alive. Imagine what Allah is waiting for. Look at sin. How opposite is the rahmah of Allah to the sin. A person stands, he goes to a judge, he's committed theft and banditry and crimes, and the judge is angry. Will he be angry or will he be happy? Tell me, the judge in the court. You're the son, and you go to your father after committing crimes. Will your father be angry or will he be happy? Tell me, if you're the father and your son, he is a criminal, will you be happy or upset? But what does our Rabb say? When the criminal comes to me sinning, then my rahmah comes into being. I'm happy, Allah says, Allahu Akbar. Because after forgiving, Allah's happy. He is so Rahim. Imagine. So Allah's rahmah. Allah says, my rahmah comes after my forgiveness. Rather, my rahmah comes alive when he does tawbah. Nor are his sins just forgiven. Allah says, by my rahmah starts to rain down onto that person. His rizq, wealth, his mal, his children, in everything, it starts to increase and multiply. Rahmah beyond rahmah beyond rahmah. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when a person does tawbah, when he repents to Allah and he asks him, Allah, forgive me, commit the sin, ask Allah for forgiveness, do tawbah, then that individual will be one soul person who will never regret anything in the grave. He will be successful. Successful. Why? Because he's leaving the world with tawbah. And tawbah doesn't leave any sin on its own. So we should make a solid habit, brothers. When you commit a sin, immediately do what? Tawbah. Immediate. Don't hasten. Don't delay. Go where? To the court of Allah. And don't be scared. Oh, I'm going to sin again. I'm just going to sin again. Forget that game. Straight go to Allah. Just like that man who came to the Prophet and said, I'm dead, I'm finished, I've lost everything. Run who to where? Where should we run to Allah? What are those kalamat? The tawbah kalamat. The verses Allah with the heart of Allah. I've committed these wrongs. I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it by mistake. Allah forgive me. And the loser, the unfortunate, that person will be the badbakht person who doesn't do tawbah, who doesn't repent. who doesn't ask Allah to forgive. There are millions of people when they die, when a person, he should have pity at the time of death. That is he a person who had regret, or did he have no regret before death? Don't look at the sins. Rather what? That person who's dying, is he fortunate? He's fortunate. His death is a great death. That person, before death, he did tawbah. He repented, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. And the person who didn't do tawbah and died, then he is the biggest loser. The biggest loser. So maut is truth, my friends. It's haq. What we should do is that in this life, during this life, while we're breathing, control the sins. But at the same time, do tawbah immediately. What should we do tawbah for? Any sin. Any sin. First of all, accept the sins. Believe that a sin is a sin. Don't reject. If you leave salah, it's a sin. Or is it not? It's a sin, isn't it? Yes. So when we leave salah, what should we do? Tawbah to Allah. Yes, we should be ashamed. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. And then go towards salah. Yes, if you make a mistake. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given the orders for us to do and not to do, they become sins if we disobey Allah. So whenever we do something, commit an excess, what should we do? Repent. Repent. Now, then who makes us forget? Who makes us lazy? Shaitan. We accept this, don't we? All of us. So shaitan makes us forget. He makes us negligent, unaware, ignorant. Maybe that person will die then. Yes, what do? When you go to sleep and you want to get up for tahajjud. And you have confidence, I'm going to wake up for tahajjud, isn't it? After that, you're scared and you might not wake up. What will happen? That you have to wake up for fajr. That you're still afraid in it, my eyes may not open. What shall I do? You do something, isn't it? Precaution. What do? Yeah, you set the alarm clock. Wherever you are, you set it on the phone or on the clock. That, for example, 40 years you're praying salah. But even then, there's a risk. That, oh, I might feel sleepy, my salah will go, I'll lose out. This is khawf, fear. So, oh, let me set the alarm. And what happens? That before the alarm, mashallah, the eyes open. Yeah, the eyes open. And then he puts the alarm off. Doesn't want it to set off. Sometimes he's got niyyah and he forgot to put the alarm off and the alarm starts buzzing during salah. Isn't it? So I'll tell you the alarm to fix laziness after sinning. So the alarm goes ding, 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 ding and you'll do tawbah straight away. Subhanallah. Shall I tell you the alarm? The noise? It's a big company, manufactured by a big company, this alarm. Shall I tell you the alarm? No. £5 each take out of your pocket first. Yes, big point. You think I'm going to tell you for free? I'm telling you the alarm, the buzzer, it will go ding ding. If you fit this alarm, install it, then never will you have laziness in your life. Inshallah, inshallah, it will never happen in your life. The same way, before time, the alarm will stop ringing. Bing 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 bing. You say, "Oh, stop! Don't commit the sin," and you'll stop straight away. And your hand is going to the phone. You're on your own. Oh, come on, let me look at these images. I've done zikr. I'll ask Allah for forgiveness in the morning. Let me watch these images and scenes. I'm on my suddenly the alarm will go ding, 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 ding. Amazing. Shall I tell you the alarm, the manufacturer? Will you implement it? Will you install it? Shall I tell you? I install it, actually. I install it. It's me who has to install it. There's no other mechanic or technician. So do you want to fit this alarm? Put your hands up. Yes, first promise. Yes, don't leave without putting the hands up. Fit it, install it, the alarm, then go. What is that alarm? As soon as you go towards a sin, suddenly start doing the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah will start. Allah's dhikr, Allah's remembrance is a massive alarm. There's no greater alarm than this. There's no bigger alarm bell than this. That's why in the whole Quran, Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّهُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That if you leave this alarm, then you have drowned, you are finished. And those who install this alarm, inshallah, they come out of the trap of negligence. They come out. Do you understand what dhikr is now and how fantastic is it? It is supreme. What is it? What is it? It's the alarm. Aha, now you understand. In every majlis, there's a new name given to the dhikr of Allah, isn't it? Yeah? Have you heard Haji Sahib today, before today, alarm clock? How many years have you come? Huh? How many years have you been coming? Have you heard this? What we discussed today, a new name. What is it? The alarm. Do you want to install the alarm? Yeah, just like you put alarms on front of your houses. I put it on the heart. On the heart. And there's a connection. What's the connection of the alarm? With my heart. So your alarm bells will be connected to my heart. Your battery will never fail because it will be connected to my heart. With me, it will continue with the fadl of Allah. Yes, because the connection's there, isn't it? The fez, the connection. Isn't every alarm as a wire connecting it to the battery, to the panel? So Allah says that do my dhikr kathira. As long as you continue to dhikr, the alarm will keep on ringing and buzzing. Shaitan won't come to you. Your salah will not be qada. Alhamdulillah. So my brothers, do you understand the discussion of today? The meaning is one, that death is for certain. Let me summarize today's discussion so you understand. Mouth is definite, 100% it will occur. Alhamdulillah, we are going to die. That's why we're saying Alhamdulillah, because we're going to die. And we should say Alhamdulillah for a good death. So definitely death will occur, for certain it will occur. And after death there will be a regret that everybody will experience. And what will he regret? Not that I sinned, rather he'll regret that if only I did that action that would have annulled and cancelled my sins. What is that amal I've told you? Tawbah, subhanAllah. Good, good, you understand. So if we do tawbah, but after doing tawbah, then I've told you another method, that then laziness comes when a person does tawbah, he goes off track left and right. So for that, what do we need to do? Set the alarm. So three things we need to do. Do you understand? Prepare for death. Okay. And how do we prepare for death? How? By doing tawbah. And how do we do tawbah? Say loudly. Setting the alarm, doing the dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So these own, inshallah, formulas, you have to take three things. And if you haven't learned this up till today, then do this now. Learn dhikr, then depart the masjid today with the fadl of Allah. So that Allah is happy and we can also be successful, inshallah. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحصلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا وكل سالكتنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما أخرت ما أسررت ما أعلنت ما صرت ما تعلم به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر ولا إله إلا أنت ربنا إننا عملنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا لقوم الكافرين ربي اغفر وأنت خير الراحمين ربي اغفر وأنت خير الراحمين ربي اغفر وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صديقين شهداء وصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك أمير المؤمنين عليه غناكم ما فرما الله صغيرا كبيرا غناكم ما فرما يا الله ہم سچی توبہ کرتے ہیں ہماری توباؤں کو قبول فرما ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہماری زندگی کو بدل دے یا اللہ ہمارے دل کی حالتوں کو بدل دے اے میرے مولا ہمیں موت کی تیاری نصیب فرما یا اللہ عذاب قبر سے محفوظ فرما یا اللہ اپنے عذابوں سے دور فرما اے میرے مولا اپنی رحمتوں کے نزدیک فرما اے میرے مولا جو بھی دعائیں ہم نے مانگی قبول فرما یا اللہ اس مسجد پہ جو بھی قرضہ ہے جو پریشانی ہے سب دور فرما اے میرے مولا جن کے گھروں کے حالات صحیح نہیں ان کے حالات کو صحیح فرما یا اللہ ہمارے بال بچوں کی شادی کروا یا کریم جن گھروں میں جوان عورت مرد اولاد بیٹھے ہیں میرے مولا ان کی شادی فرما یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل فرما یا اللہ جس خاتون کے انتقال ہوا ہے چھوٹے چھوٹے بچے رہ گئے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمارے جوار احمد میں جگہ نصیب فرما جنت فردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما یا اللہ اس کی قبر کے سوالات آسان فرما یا اللہ اس کے لواحقین کو میرے مولا صبر جمیل نصیب فرما یا اللہ اس کے بچوں کو صبر نصیب فرما ان کو میرے مولا اس کا اجر نصیب اجر عظیم نصیب فرما اے میرا مولا ہمارے جتنے مرحومین ہیں ان کو سب کو جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ بار بار ہمیں ذکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما اچھے نیک صالح لوگوں کی مجالس نصیب فرما یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین